We're going back to 1 Samuel today to once again look at the foolishness of the Israelites. In the last podcast, we kind of looked at Eli and his poor leadership as a father, as the high priest, which led to such destruction, ultimately by losing the Ark of the Covenant. And we're going to take just a step back to see right before they lost the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 4. So this is they're in battle with the Philistines, and they're not doing well. They're getting quite dominated by the Philistines. And the people of Israel here, they're very confused. And they think that bringing in the Ark of the Covenant is going to give them sort of the advantage over the Philistines simply by bringing the Ark of the Covenant into their camp. So in 1 Samuel chapter 4, I'm going to read just a few verses, starting in verse 3. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." And so they were very confident that by bringing the Ark of the Covenant to their camp, that this was going to deliver them. It was going to save them from the Philistines. Verse 4, so the people sent to Shiloh, which was the religious capital at that time, where the temple and where the sacrifices were done. So the people at Shiloh, they sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth this noise, the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore." And so they're very scared. They're terrified of hearing that the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence, is now in the camp of Israel, because they knew exactly what happened to the people of Egypt and what God did to them. And so they were terrified. Yet anyway, they mounted up strength to fight, and they ended up winning the battle, defeating Israel and taking the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it might be confusing to you, as it was definitely to the Israelites, of how were they still dominated even after they brought the Ark of the Covenant? You know, shouldn't God's presence, shouldn't that have won the fight for them? But the key thing we're missing is that the nation of Israel, as we talked about in the last episode, we're living in a phase of rebellion, and God's judgment is coming upon the people of Israel, and it starts with the losing of the Ark of the Covenant. So this is where the domino effect, so to speak, begins of God's judgment on the people of Israel in this phase, because of rebellion and poor leadership. We have to understand that this is applicable to our life if we think about it this way, that just because we have a Bible in our house, just because we go to church, just because we even know a few verses, does not mean we are saved. And does not mean that God is fighting for us or is on our side, or rather we're on God's side. We have to understand that. The people of Israel were so foolish and naive in a way of thinking that just because they bring the Ark of the Covenant with them to their camp, that that's somehow going to let them win. I think they were thinking of the Ark of God, they were thinking of God's presence more of as a good luck charm. And oftentimes, this is people think about him this way, think about prayer this way, where they only pray when they have something to pray for, so to speak, or they only pray or seek God when it's to benefit them, or they'll alter scripture in a way so that it benefits their lifestyle. This is a dangerous, self-destructive way of thinking. We have to learn from this example, this poor example again, of putting our faith in the wrong things. Just because you go to church, just because you know somebody who is supposedly spiritual, just because you have a Bible in your home, just because you know a couple of verses, or you prayed a prayer a couple times, This does not mean that you are on God's side. There has to be a change of heart. And that's what did not occur with the Israelites. They did not repent of their rebellious ways. There was not repentance. There was simply false hope in God's presence simply being there. We can't expect God to change us and do radical things in our lives for His glory if we don't allow Him to change our hearts. This kind of goes hand in hand, I think, with James, with what has been talked about on Sunday mornings about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. I think it goes hand in hand, where we can't expect to grow and we can't expect for God to work through us if we're not doers of the word, if it's not being applied to our lives. And that's really what the Israelites missed here. They just completely missed that there has to be application, that God desires obedience. That's all the people of Israel had to do. You know, that was sort of the formula. They obey, they follow His commandments and do what He says, and then He in turn gives a blessing. And that's the formula. And they failed that time and time again. Now, I'm not saying I would do any better. I know for sure I wouldn't. But we have to learn from their example, their shortcomings, when they put their trust in things that, you know, could change their outcome, but not without a change of heart. You know, they trusted in the ark coming, and they thought for sure that that was going to deliver them. But, you know, God was teaching them a lesson that, no, there's poor leadership in my nation, and there's rebellion in my nation. And just because you bring the presence of God, just because you bring the ark into the camp of the enemy, that's not going to change your situation. You know, a lot of people, I think, during, you know, times of stress or during terrible life events, seem to kind of move back toward going to church, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. It should drive us to that. But just simply going to church is not going to save us. God requires a change of heart. And when we submit to the Lord, when we put our faith and trust in Him, and then daily walk close with Him, daily in the scriptures, this is the renewing or the renovating of the mind, and from Romans 12. And this is a daily process. It's not an easy process. That's why it's called dying to self. It's a very difficult process, but it's necessary if we want to see growth and if we want to see victory in our battles. So this is just something I was thinking about reading through 1 Samuel. We need to learn from this, learn from their foolish mistakes. Allow God to change your heart. Don't just put your hope in just simply going to church or just simply that you have a Bible or know a few verses, because it's not enough. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Let Him come into your life and save you from hell and begin to change your way of thinking. This is the sanctification process. And it is a process. It is a lifelong process. So I encourage you with this. Let's encourage one another to stay in the fight. Encourage one another to continue in that process of sanctification. Because iron sharpens iron. We need to lean on each other for this. So thank you. Be encouraged.